Welcome this morning to the Lord's house. We're going to commence our service with number 403, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause. Let's stand, please, as we worship our God. Just before we come to pray this morning, I want to leave a very special, important prayer request with you. It has to do with the situation with the Kimbrough family. Reverend Kimbrough is the minister of our Winston-Salem congregation in North Carolina, and both he and his wife have been battling the last couple of weeks with COVID, and it has turned more serious, especially for his wife, Jan. She's in the hospital now and under maximum oxygen, and it's a serious condition for her. So they're asking for prayers from all of our people in our churches for the Lord's hand to be upon them. And we know that they're not alone. There are others who are in that difficult situation. If it's not directly with COVID, it's certainly with some other very problematic and difficult circumstance. So we'll ask you to remember her in prayer. And also, please be thinking about our sister Beverly Campbell, as she had to say farewell really to her mother this past week. And yesterday morning, we had the graveside service. And it was a time, well, it was very difficult in the cold weather outside, but a large number of her family, immediate family members were there. And just ask that the gospel message that was given, even in those very cold temperatures, the Lord would take and use that for his honor. Let's pray now. Our loving God and Father, as we come into your holy presence this morning, We do so in the name that is above every other name, the name of our Lord and Savior, the name that opens the door of heaven, that name whereby we come into Thy holy presence in prayer, and on the ground and the merit of His own sacrifice of Calvary, and on His precious shed blood. And dear Father, we would say, as the hymn writer did, we have no other argument and no other plea, but it is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. And I pray that today our hearts would be filled with genuine God thanksgiving and joy. And Father, we would know Your presence and help in all of our life's journey, in the things that we see and perceive in front of us, and those things that we do not perceive, perhaps in the unseen world of the attacks and the plans of Satan against the church and against us as individuals. I pray, Lord, that we might be filled with that wisdom that is not human, that wisdom that is divine, godly, holy, and that our thinking and our minds would be motivated, and that we would be led forward to be a witness in our day and time. Father, most of all, help us, we pray, to be soul winners. That, Lord, You would lead us to people that we might share our testimony with, giving the Word of God, whether it is in a situation of a graveside setting of yesterday. Ah, Lord, we pray Your comfort and blessing would be upon Beverly and other family members grieving the loss of a dear mother and grandmother. We pray, dear Father, as the word went out yesterday, that the seed sown would take root in some hearts. And Father, bring forth a great harvest to the glory of Thy holy name. Father, hear our prayers today. Refresh us, encourage us, lift us up, and bless the Word of God to our hearts today. And help us as a people, saved by sovereign grace, not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus, not to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that gospel which is powerful to convert and to save and to place our feet upon the rock of salvation. And we have a hope that cannot be taken away from us, a hope for eternity, a hope in glory. And dear Father, we would say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly to this sin-cursed and broken world. Lord, we ask today for our sister Jan Kimbrough in hospital. We pray, Lord, that You would touch her body, that You would come near and help her at this time of her need. And bless Reggie as well, as he also is suffering from the same illness. Not so serious, but Lord, keep Your hand upon him. And we know that it pervades many of our families and our churches. And so we're asking for Your protection and safety and blessing, Lord, to carry us through illness, sicknesses, diseases. We know that many in our congregation, Lord, are suffering from some very debilitating problems in their life. Bless them, strengthen them, be with them. Remember those who are going through spiritual battles, strong and heavy. Lord, release that burden, or else give grace to be able to carry through. So, Lord, hear our prayers today. Be with us now. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon our land, our nation. We are in desperate need of reviving of the people of God, in desperate need of awakening to save souls from a lost eternity. Lord, we are in need of Your intervention among our government leaders. Oh God, we pray that You would help us in our time, that we will bear a witness for the Savior, and that we will not fear the face of clay, the face of men. Enable us, Lord, we pray, and bless us. We think of Whitfield, our school, and as school resumes again tomorrow for in-person classes, dear God, help us, we pray, bless our ministry. Be with all of our teachers and our students and parents. And I pray that you would work salvation in the hearts of our young people. And may their lives go forward to the honor and the praise of Christ. Hear this, our prayer today. Be with us now, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's sing again, please, to the Lord's praise, Psalm 2, standing to sing. We're going to read this morning for our congregational reading in two places. We are turning to Psalm 2 at this time, and then to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath, and vex or trouble them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my King upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten Thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and ye perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against Thy holy child, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child, Jesus. May God bless His word to our hearts today as we have read. Welcome to our service this morning. Glad that you're here in person, and everyone who is able to join with us online this morning as well. We pray that the Lord's hand would be upon each one and would bless you. We want to extend as a congregation our condolences to the Campbell family. Mrs. Campbell, a longtime member of our congregation here, passed away last Monday morning in her sleep, the age of 97, and a faithful servant of the Lord. And although she has not been able to attend our services here for the past couple of years, because of all the restrictions we know about and her age, yet the Lord blessed her with the ministry of prayer. She was very faithful in that and a beloved servant of the Lord. We'll miss her dearly, and we pray that God would comfort the rest of the family at this time. Please continue in your prayers for our school ministry as we recommence in-person classes tomorrow. The Lord's hand would be upon us, although we're expecting a large snowfall starting later tonight and into this morning, into tomorrow. So we'll just have to wait and see how that works out for school as well. Please remember all of our shut-ins and all of our sick ones as well today. And I want to say that remembering the services today afternoon at 5:50, our prayer time, the evening service tonight at 6:30. And then please remember that those who are candidates for baptism would like to meet with you after the evening service tonight in the counseling room. Just to let you know, thank you for your prayers, by the way. Last Lord's Day was unexpected, last minute, where we had to do some quick technological changes, and I was able to bring you the message via Zoom, and it came across the screen in our service. And I'll let you know for the next few weeks anyways, until the heat of all this passes over. I plan to take a COVID test every Lord's Day morning. And so again, this morning I did that and it has come back negative. And so I just want to encourage you regarding that. Ask you to keep in prayer all the situation that is going on around us. And remember each one, please, in your own prayers. this coming Wednesday evening, our Bible study and our prayer time, and then Thursday night, our session and board meeting. We'll meet first of all at 6 for the session, 7:30 for the board in session, and at 7:30 we want to meet for a special prayer time with our elders and deacons, and ask you to remember that time, and then following that we'll be able to conduct some business as we start into the new year. And then this coming Saturday is our Connect group meeting, the first one for the new year, and that will be at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. And looking forward to the speaker, who will be Jason Boyle, Reverend Boyle from our Mexico congregation. He'll be joining on with us in Zoom and bringing the word. So I encourage all those that applies to keep that time separate on Saturday night. Looking forward to that. And the next Lord's Day, our services at the regular time. Let me encourage you that our adult Bible classes are being conducted this week through the book of Joel, Brother James Fraser, and he has the study notes for those. If you would like to get them, you could contact him or Jonathan, and he'll make sure that you get a copy of those. They're also on audio, and they might have to be just adjusted a little bit before they go out, but those are also available. I know most of you have picked up a copy of the Daily Bible Reading Booklet, but if you haven't, or you know a friend or someone who wants one, there are some extra copies at the back. Please take them and make use of them as they are time dated, and put them into the hands of folks for your benefit. And if anyone in our congregation would like to get a copy of our new phone directory, address and contact information for people within our congregation, you could speak to one of the brethren in the sound room at the end of the service, and they'd be able to give you a copy of that. I'd like you to turn with me now, please, in your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians. We're going to read in this portion of the Word of God as we look at the Scriptures this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, reading from verse 9 down to verse 20. The Apostle Paul is writing his pastoral letter to a church in Corinth, and as he is dealing with many issues, well, the one he's pressing on now in chapter 6, you will get the context of some of the difficulties that were going on in the congregation. Verse 9, he says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord, and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the member of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. For every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which temple is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Lord bless His word to our hearts today as we have read. Please join with me in prayer. Our loving Father, we are thankful today for the privilege of worship, of the open Word of God. And I ask, Lord, today that we would be instructed in these things that are so precious, so important, so vital. I pray, Lord, that I will know the help of the Holy Spirit in the Word today, and that You would guide and direct our thinking. Give understanding hearts. Bless us, we pray, and help us, O God, in our generation, in our time, that we might walk circumspectly, we might walk in wisdom and discernment, and that we will walk not fearing the face of men, but rather, O God, in accordance to Your perfect and holy will. Save precious souls, Lord, we ask today. Use this word as a means to bring out of darkness and into light. Father, hear our prayer today and give strength, and may the Lord Jesus be seen. We pray in His holy and precious name. Amen. I do not need to tell you that our world and our country is breaking under the weight of sin. There are many broken lives, many shattered families. Sin has taken its toll on people from every walk of life and involved in every form of sinful activity. But the gospel presents hope. And there is hope today in Christ for all who will come to Him in repentance and in faith. Even when our governments block the way to Jesus and the way to salvation. Such has been the case in the recent law that was passed in our land on January the 7th, 2022. Bill C-4, banning conversion therapy, passed into law, having been pushed through the Canadian Parliament and Senate and given royal assent without any debate. Now, the passing of this legislation makes it a criminal offense, A, causing another person to undergo conversion therapy, B, doing anything for the purpose of removing a child from Canada with the intention that the child undergo conversion therapy outside Canada, C, promoting or advertising conversion therapy. And D, receiving a financial or material benefit from the provision of conversion therapy. It also amends the criminal code to authorize courts to order that advertisements for conversion therapy be disposed of or deleted. In other words, the old-fashioned way of gathering information into the city center, kindling a fire, and burning the lot, the banning and burning of books. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau tweeted, "It's official. Our government's legislation banning the despicable and degrading practice of conversion therapy has received royal assent, meaning it's now law. LGBTQ2 Canadians will always stand up for you and your rights." A man by the name of Chris DeBoer, in an article from the Reformed Perspective, he wrote on December the 24th, 2021. He said, "The ban on conversion therapy legislation passed in silence, but was celebrated with loud clamor. This was a sad day in Canada's history, and we pray that the Lord will stem the growing tide of secularism that is filling our land. May He also continue to grant strong men and women who can fight these battles where they are placed to His honor and glory. May He also forgive all of us when we fail to do so." Canada is in today a conflict of two world views. One is secular, humanistic, man-centered, and God-denying. The other, biblical, Christ-centered, and God-glorifying. And while the secular view appears to be gaining much ground, as believers in a sovereign God, we know His purposes cannot be overthrown. And that when the King of Kings, the Savior, returns to this broken world, all that is wrong and upside down will be made right. Let us remain, therefore, strong in faith, persisting in prayer, and steadfast, my dear friends, to stand for truth in our time. I want today to look at this subject in two parts. What the Bible has to say about conversion therapy and its implications in our land, especially toward the Church of Christ, and how it will impact faithful preaching of God's holy word. So the first thing I leave before you today is this: asking, so what is this all about? That may be going through your mind. What is this conversion therapy? In 2015, the American Psychological Association and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services collaborated on a report stating what conversion therapy was: efforts to change an individual's sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression. It is a practice that is not supported by credible evidence and has been disavowed by behavioral health experts and associations. Conversion therapy perpetuates outdated views of gender roles and identities, as well as the negative stereotype that being a sexual or gender minority or identifying as LGBTQ is an abnormal aspect of human development. Most importantly, it may put young people at risk of serious harm. End quote. Simply put, it is this. It's defined as any attempt to change a person's homosexual orientation to that of heterosexual or a transgender orientation to that of their biological or birth gender. So if you were born a female and you self-determine as a male, it is now illegal to take any steps to influence and change that person's thinking or behavior, even if they desire it themselves. The shame and disappointment of what happened in Canadian Parliament and Senate in December of 2021 is that on both occasions, Conservative members introduced a motion of unanimous consent, which means that if only one member of Parliament objected, it would have failed to pass. This is an astounding, as just months earlier, over 60 MPs voted against a similar bill. That means that all the politicians of all federal parties, no one objected. This amazing unity among politicians from all parties, it paved the way for this to be fast-tracked, not giving any time for debate, review, clarification, or considering of the implications it will have on both sides of the debate. Those who are opposed for moral and religious convictions, and those who are genuinely seeking for help with their questions and their feelings about their own sexual and gender orientations. But there is a glaring omission from this legislation, in that there is no mention at all about the counseling, persuading, manipulating, coercing, or indoctrinating of young people and teens toward a homosexual, lesbian, or transgender lifestyle that is being foisted upon them through sex education in schools, in gay clubs, to say nothing about the ever-growing indoctrination from Hollywood. And what about the abusive and medically irresponsible prescribing of hormone-blocking drugs and irreparably damaging sex change surgeries that children and teens are encouraged to receive? The failure to even mention the emotional and physical distortion and damage caused by these abuses appears to be an intentional omission from this legislation in our land. My dear brothers and sisters, shame is upon our nation and upon our government, as it takes another giant leap toward the willful rejection of truth, of decency, and the protection of the vulnerable. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "It would be better for a millstone to be hanged around the neck and that person cast into the depth of the sea, but that they should offend. But that they should, the Greek word, scandalize one of these little ones, and that they should be cast into the sea. I want to be very clear this morning that conversion therapy has had a long history which has included many objectionable treatments, such as electric shock therapy, lobotomies, and medication, all of which we do not support, especially where there had been coercion or pressure tactics that had been used. But to include questionable medical practices and forced behavioral treatment, along with medical counseling or parental direction or pastoral care, is to swing the pendulum from one side completely over to the other. But my dear friends, from a biblical point of view, many of these rejected procedures, they attempted to deal with a symptom while ignoring the root problem. And that's oftentimes the case when the world is looking at or trying to understand and deal with societal issues. A recent report by Cornell University in Ithaca, New York, it looked at 47 peer-reviewed studies and concluded, quote, there is no credible evidence that sexual orientation can be changed through therapeutic intervention, close quote. We would agree with that. There's no doubt we would agree with that. Because when you're trying to change a heart-rooted problem, it cannot be done by counseling. Yet while this new law rejects all forms of conversion therapy, which include shock treatments, surgeries, and medications, they are hypocritically willing to permit vulnerable young children and teens to make medicinal and surgical decisions which will impact their lives in a policy report on conversion therapy in 2019 put out by the Association of Reformed and Political Action, ARPA, they stated, unlike body-affirming counseling, sex change treatments are physically invasive and worryingly reminiscent of the pharmaceutical and surgical forms of conversion therapy practiced in the mid-1900s. They do irreparable physical and psychological harm. The fact is that the biological makeup of humanity, it comes in two forms, male and female. And the DNA cannot be altered, no matter how many drugs or surgeries are prescribed. Ryan Anderson, a PhD writing for the Heritage Foundation, he said this, sex reassignment doesn't work. It's impossible to reassign someone's sex physically, and attempting to do so doesn't produce good outcomes psychosocially. Changing sexes is a metaphysically impossible because it is biologically impossible. But the reason why these therapies do not work effectively, and the affirmation that there is no need of any change, is because the root problem, according to our government and this legislation, the root problem of our sinful nature has been rejected or ignored. Again, they're looking at a symptom, but they're not thinking about a problem. In fact, they are denying that there is any problem at all. The issue at the forefront today, it's not so much the objectionable practices of conversion therapy, but the complete rejection that there is any need to alter or change a person from being homosexual or from denying their birth gender. Mankind suffers from the universal problem of total depravity. The Bible states that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous. No, not one. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And this total depravity, it permeates the entire person, body, soul, and spirit. And it makes every human being morally, mentally, and physically under the total impact of a sinful nature. My dear friends, so when it is said that a person is born with a homosexual or transgender disposition, let's be clear. The issue is not genetic. It is moral. The fallen sinful nature of humanity, it means that all of us manifests a sinful nature by breaking every commandment that God has given, from stealing and lying, to coveting and lusting and immorality, from not loving God with all of our hearts, souls, minds, and strength, and worshiping Him as the only Creator. In defining what conversion therapy is, two problems arise. First, the rejection of the clear teaching that there are only two genders, male and female, and that a homosexual lifestyle is sinful and will bring the judgment of God, as will all sin. And two, that any counseling or advice given to turn from such lifestyles is now deemed a criminal offense in our land. Yes, believers, we are in a solemn and a serious day today. I mentioned on Wednesday evening at the prayer meeting that Dr. John McKnight, hearing through the news of what's going on in Canada, being very burdened, he sent me a text and wanted me to know. First of all, he gave me a phone call, then a text followed after, but he wanted me to know that he was burdened for the brethren in Canada. He was praying for us, praying that God would enable us to take our stand, be strengthened with might in the inner man. They had a special time of prayer among their own congregation in their prayer meeting. And the minister that's now serving in Reformation Bible Church, along with Dr. McKnight, he brought a message. And in the context of that message, Brother McKnight texted me what he was preaching on, and it was very, very suitable and supportive for what we are going through here. And as I said yesterday at the graveside of Mrs. Campbell, we have lost a prayer warrior someone who intercedes for us and holds us up to the Lord. And I thank God for men like Dr. McKnight and Reformation Church and others within our own denomination who are faithfully holding us up to the Lord today and who will continue to pray for us and with us, that we will be able to bear a bright witness for our Savior in these very, very dark times. The real question arises: what is really and who is really being indicted with a criminal charge in Canada? Who is the one on trial in the court of our land? It is, my dear friends, the God of heaven and earth, the one who has given the moral law. It is the Holy Spirit, through whom conviction of sin brings a personal conversion to Jesus Christ. And this conversion is so profound that God says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, old lifestyles, old habits, old manners, old sins, the old nature, these things are put away, they pass away, and behold, all things become new. Now we know that that is the process of sanctification in the life of a believer. But at the heart of it, we know that when we are converted to Christ, the sinful nature that we so embraced and that so molded and directed us has been broken and is put to death by the cross work of Christ. And today we live as new people with the divine nature in us. Oh, with all of our weaknesses and imperfections, yet still living for the glory of God is our desire, and not to go back to pathways that are sinful, and certainly not to justify or attempt to evil lifestyles. The shame is upon those who declare themselves as followers of Christ and try to minimize the wickedness of sin and try to make excuses for lifestyles or patterns. This conversion that we have read about in the Scripture, of being taken out of darkness and being brought into light, you cannot find two things that are more distant or different between those situations where we were in darkness and we've been brought to experience the joy and the peace and the light and the beauty of our Savior. And we know Him and we love Him in our hearts. I want you to turn back again in your Bibles to Psalm 2. Listen carefully to these words. You would think that David wrote them to apply to Canada in 2022. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? For the kings, the parliamentarians, the governments of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together, unified, against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. This is at the heart of this legislation that has taken place. There is a standing and a shaking of the human fist in the face of a holy God and saying, we will not have this God to rule over us. We will not submit ourselves to the word of the living God. We reject that wholesale. And we will make our own course and go on our own path. But the next verse, my dear friends, is very solemn. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. God looks down and sees the squawking and the objection and the raising of so-called threats against God and His people. And all of this is motivated by the devil. We know his intention is against the church. We know that these laws that oppose God's word, they're coming and being directed against God's people. And when the ungodly raise their fist against the living God, the Lord is not troubled by this at all. The nations of this world, in all of their might and glory and wealth, they are the small dust of the balance. They are a drop in the bucket. And when they raise themselves against the Lord, He will, by His sovereign purpose, deal with them. Oh, friends, today, our nation and our political leaders, they're filled with folly. They're filled with foolishness. They're filled with everything because they have turned against the living God. My friends, in dealing with a subject that is before us like this, there's a charge that will be brought against a pastor or a people, and the charge will be this: you are so intolerant. You are so unloving. And so uncaring and unfair in the treatment of people that are just different from us. And all of that is not true. That is a lie. For when we call sinners to repent and to turn to Christ for forgiveness and salvation, it's not an exclusive message only for those who are like upright sinners, only those who are clean sinners. No, my dear friends, it's a call of the gospel for all men everywhere to repent of sin. And this means men and women from every walk of life, every culture, every color, every orientation. There is hope today in Christ. And what a great message and hope that we have to give and to share. When I speak this word, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, I am echoing the words of my Savior. For Jesus stood and said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's a call, my dear friends, for all men, all women, to turn from their sin and to embrace the free gift of salvation that's only found in the Lord Jesus. What the homosexual person needs today is the same as the adulterer and the fornicator. It's the same as the thief and the liar and the so-called good living person. It is repentance of sin and healing. The true conversion therapy of the Holy Word of God. This is the word of the gospel that Paul preached to the Corinthians who had turned to Christ from their former lifestyles, from all types of sin, including transgenderism, including sodomy. This is what God has done for people, for the apostles. As such were some of you, but now you are washed. Now you are sanctified. Now you're justified in the name of Jesus. And that's the great hope and the great power there is in the life-changing message of this glorious gospel. This is the word we have for our nation today. There's no other word. It's an old message, but it's ever new. And it's the message that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ah, friend, today, maybe you're listening online. You've tuned in today. And this message of the gospel is for you. It's for everyone here in our church. Maybe you're here, friend, today, and you don't know the Lord in that personal living experience. And I say to you, turn from your sin and don't depend on your own self-righteousness. And when you turn in repentance and simple faith and reach out to embrace the Lord, He has promised, I will not turn away any who come to me in faith and in belief. This is the great hope that we have. And this is the gospel message that is so glorious, so liberating, so freeing. And that's the message that we have today. May God bless His word to you. As we come back to the evening service tonight, I want to look at some further aspects of this taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I trust the Lord will help us as we look further into His Word. We're going to close our service now by singing a well-known gospel hymn, Stand Up for Jesus, Ye Soldiers of the Cross. And as the words come up for the first verse, and as the instruments play through that first verse, just listen, make sure you have the tune in your mind, and then we will stand to sing. Let's stand as we sing. Stand up, thank you. strife will not be long, the words of the last verse. And we can say, thank God for that. We know that the strife is with us as long as we are in this world. Let us not think it a strange thing, brother or sister, when these trials and troubles come. They have affected the church in every generation, and they will do until Christ returns. So, let us realize the strife, it will not be long, because soon this world and our journey through it will be completed. This day is the noise of battle, but the next day will be the victor's song in glory. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Therefore, may God enable us to stand for him. There is a cost involved, my dear friends. And who knows what the cost will be for us? Are we prepared for that cost? Are we prepared to take our stand when we suffer the loss of freedom, that they may not be too far away for some? Well, may the Lord enable us to be filled with His Spirit and to go forward with grace and in the joy and strength of a sovereign God who is ruling and reigning, even though governments would attempt to indict Him in their laws. Let's sing this final verse. Father, today we are thankful for the great hope that we have in the life-changing power of this glorious gospel message. Lord, we know it because it has worked in our own sinful lives. And we're thankful for the day that we were rescued from the pit of our own sin and brought and placed upon the foundation of Jesus. And today we know our sins have been forgiven. And we know we have a standing in glory forever and forever. Dear Lord, hear our prayer today. Bless the word to every heart. And I pray that precious souls would come this very day to know Christ, to believe in Him, and to have the joy and the peace of eternal life. Part us, Lord, in your fear. And with your rich blessing, we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.